Good evening, everybody. Welcome in. It's another edition of Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, here in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Everything Purple is here to review some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network had to produce over the past week. The content is always better after a victory, and the Vikings got another victory on Sunday. They traveled to Atlanta. They took down the Falcons 20-10. The Vikings are now 8-3. My weekly podcast, The Wobcast, took a peek inside a winning locker room. Take a listen.
Hey, I'm proud. Really proud of this team. I wanted this one really bad today, fellas. It meant a lot to me, okay? We ain't done yet now. We still got a long way to go. We got to keep fighting. Let's get in the training room, take care of our stuff.
Please.
Let's stay on point. Let's keep grinding, huh?
Hell yeah.
We got a heck of a football team here. We got to stick
let's
with
go,
it.
Hell
all
yeah.
Right?
That was a great job responding today by the guys. And after coming off of last week's performance, did a great job of just, you know, competing. And Coach Zimmer talked about, you know, being a physical team. I think we were that today. Atlanta's number one rush defense. And, you know, for us to come here and, you know, rush the ball the way we did today, you know, speaks volumes. You know, the guys took Coach Zimmer's message. And, you know, we just have to continue to compete.
Oh, yeah, good game. Great team win. You know, offense, defense, special teams, and everybody played well today. So happy to get this win.
Anthony, how would you describe the confidence level of this unit defensively?
Defensively very high, you know, especially, you know, down two safeties and those guys came in and played huge for us, Antone and Robert Blanton. Man, I'm so proud of those guys, the way they came in and stepped up for us. And it goes from the front end to the back end, you know, and everybody in between. Everybody did a great job today.
You mentioned Exum too.
I thought he was very important for us, you know, just kind of be, you know, resilient, bounce back, not staying in the funk. You know, so we took a personal the loss last week, and we just came into this week against Atlanta, just focused on them. You know, putting that game behind, it was a hard pill to swallow, but focus on the next week. And I feel like defensively, offensively, we came out, played hard, played aggressive, and we was able to make more plays than those guys today.
As you all know, Chad Greenway, a great ambassador for the Vikings, a great player on the field, but a great guy off the field, very good in the community. Vikings Beyond the Gridiron took a look at how Chad Greenway gave back this year on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving week is a special time of the year. Families coming together, spending quality time, and being thankful for what you have. It's a time to think about others as well, and helping those less fortunate. That's a regular mindset for a Vikings veteran, but it's extra true during this time of the year.
Yeah, I think really anytime around the holidays, it's always important just to think about family, giving. It always takes me back to what my parents would always do back on the farm, is donate a pig to the church and then donate the meat to families across our town, just to make sure everybody had a meal, you know, on the holidays. And that's what kind of correlates, you know, the holidays and giving attitude, and just making sure everybody has a time to sit down as a group or a family and reflect and be appreciative of what they have.
For Chad Greenway, thinking of others is what he does not only around the holidays, but 365 days a year. The Vikings linebacker has made it a passion for him and his family to provide a major difference in the community. But this Thanksgiving holiday meant even more for Chad and his family. Last December, Chad lost his father, Alan Greenway, after a long battle with leukemia. He learned plenty from his dad and knows to cherish every possible moment he gets with his family.
I think it's always important to understand how lucky you are. I mean, no matter what station you are in life, I mean, to be fortunate and have things and have family and have your health. And, you know, it's always important to kind of reflect back and really how special you are and how special you have it with your family. And, you know, with my dad being gone, it just makes it even kind of, you cherish those moments even more with your family.
Being thankful, the Greenways strive to give back and provide that lasting impact to those less fortunate. Through the Lead the Way Foundation, Chad and his wife Jenny put in countless hours of hard work to enrich and support individuals and families in need.
To be in a position where you can use your name, you know, to raise money for people that maybe are going through hard times, or their family's going through fighting an illness, or a young kid who's fighting cancer, or really anything. I mean, there's so many people out there that have just gotten dealt a bad hand and just need maybe just somebody to pick them up, help them out. You know, we give money to the Park and Rec in Minneapolis, give kids an opportunity. You know, sometimes that's all you need, is just an opportunity, and then the kid can just, you know, become something they never thought they could be. So we just try to be that, you know, for as many people as we can. And when we started our foundation, we didn't know what it would become. We just let it snowball and just try to do as many good things as we could, as far reaching as we could make it.
From hospital visits to football clinics to holiday gifts to Chad's locker inside hospitals, the foundation does so much. But it also gives an important lesson to his Viking teammates.
Now, you know, that we're pretty well cemented in the community, now just try to do, you know, be consistent and then do more and just do as much as you can and then pull all the guys into it. You know, we have so many young guys in this team. Now is my job to teach guys, you know, what it means to be a pro, you know, what it means to give back to the community. Because whether you like it or not, you know, we are role models. Kids look up to us. Kids want to emulate us. So why not give them a good example? Somebody who they can look to and say, okay, he's a family guy. He does things the right way. He makes right decisions. And, you know, a guy that, you know, that people want to be proud of.
It's not only his work in the community that makes such a big impact. It's Chad's work on the football field that continues to impress. Now in his 10th season in the NFL, the veteran leader on the defense is still enjoying competing at the age of 32 and watching his younger teammates grow.
I've enjoyed my role. I've enjoyed my role within this team. And I think it's just been a fun group to be a part of and to watch these young guys grow and to even have, you know, older guys, leaders, continue to step up and play well.
Few players compete in the NFL for 10 seasons, doing it all at a high level. Even more rare is the fact that Chad Greenway has done it all in Minnesota with the Vikings. But Greenway is not your average player or person. The Vikings' reigning Community Man of the Year has been a Pro Bowl linebacker and an all-star in the community. As he and his family pause to celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday this week, Chad is thankful for all the blessings he has in life.
One of the hottest Vikings offensive players right now, aside from Adrian Peterson, is tight end Kyle Rudolph. He was a guest of PA's on Vikings Game Plan last week.
And this is the Xfinity Player Breakdown. Happy to be joined now by Minnesota Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph off a career game that he probably is happy he went 6-106-1 with a 47-yard touchdown, but probably is not completely happy because the team didn't beat Green Bay, and he joins us now. Is that a fair way to assess it?
Absolutely. You know, it's always to go out and perform well when you're called upon, but at the bottom line is wins and losses, and we weren't able to get the job done.
Here's Rudolph with a catch. Slowed down, but touchdown. Vikings on top. You will not see a better thrown ball than what he lays out there for Kyle Rudolph. And then Rudolph delivers and making the play. That's just an outstanding job by those two guys converting on a big play here for a touchdown.
That 47-yard touchdown, though, by the sidelines, that was pretty cool.
Thanks. It's you know, I talked about it a little bit after the game that I kind of owed Teddy from the week before, and he, you know, showed his trust in me and threw the ball up in coverage. And, you know, they just brought a big blitz, and there's no one else left.
Interesting, Kyle would bring up the week before. That was a victory at Oakland. He's already starting to smile because he knows what's coming. I'm just going to lay it out like this. What the heck happened?
It's easily the worst play in my sports career.
Bridgewater, end zone, wide open, and dropped! Kyle Rudolph was alone but couldn't hold it in the end zone.
I can't even compare it to anything. You know, like airballing a free throw, maybe. there's just no comparison to it.
Fortunately, you won the game. And it was a game where Red Ellison had a touchdown.
And he's in the end zone. Red Ellison with a Viking touchdown.
Rookie tight end Mike Cole Pruitt was catching some passes early in the game. So Teddy's like, I have to be an equal opportunity tight end provider. Yeah, Vikings won that game, lost to Green Bay, have Atlanta today. Off the Green Bay loss into Atlanta's game today. Now, you guys are a 7-3 operation, which I've said on the radio show all week, and I'm sure people have preached it around here. Off one loss, do you have to remember you're 7-3, still a really good football team?
Yeah, you know, one way to look at it is, you know, whether it's a big win or a tough loss, it still counts as one. And, you know, for us, we're 7-3. Tied record-wise with Green Bay with 6 weeks left and a lot of NFC teams that we'll be battling for playoff spots with.
When it's clicking along nicely, what do you enjoy about this offense?
Just our style of football. You know, it's something playing outdoors in Minnesota. It fits us well here the last 6 weeks of the year. And, you know, we have so many playmakers in that room that there's when we're clicking on it, all cylinders, there's no way to stop us. It just seems like somebody else always steps up.
When the offensive coordinator lines up the three tight ends and runs the running back, run blocking is something you definitely have to buy into, correct?
It is. You know, run blocking is something that I've always had to work harder at. Pass catching, running routes has always been something that comes natural to me. But in this offense, you have to be able to run block. That's our identity. That's what we do. We're going to put those three tight ends and a fullback out there, and we're going to run the football and, you know, keep ourselves in manageable down and distance. Unfortunately, last week we got behind the eight ball a little bit, which cost us and makes us get away from our identity. But one cool thing about being around here, when you run block and when you run block well, it's definitely noticed by the head man, and he appreciates
that's
it.
That's a fake. That's a throw. That's a touchdown. Caught! Kyle Rudolph's second touchdown this year. Touchdown! Kyle Rudolph, the tight end.
You had six consecutive games with just two catches a game. Then you had a game with one catch, that Raiders game. 6, 106-1 with a career-long 47 and a career-best yardage-wise, too, against Green Bay last week. What was different in this game compared to the previous month and a half?
Well, like I said, we have so many playmakers on offense that they're going to try to take guys away, and when your number's called, you have to step up. But also, unfortunately, getting behind in some down and distance, having to throw the ball a little more. I believe only 14 rushes, which that's not us. You know, we're a team, like I said, that likes to run the football. But with that being said, when my number's called upon, you know, I'm expected to make those plays.
Okay, we're up against a break. Before we go, though, we have a programming note. Join host Mike Mussman along with Everson Griffin at Broadway Pizza in Robbinsdale this Thursday at 5:30 p.m. for Vikings Country. You could win Vikings tickets and a trip to the Vikings regular season finale in Green Bay. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information and for more Everything Purple. Don't leave. Welcome back. It's Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We have more to get to, but first, we need to tell you about this. The Vikings are giving away a pair of tickets to the first game in their new home, plus an exclusive on-field experience. Register now at usbankstadium.com/contest. Our buddy Ross Tucker joined the Wobcast earlier in the week. Ross was at the Vikings-Falcons game and offered a few of his thoughts from the Vikings' victory. Our guest today is Ross Tucker. He's the host of The Morning Kickoff on Sirius XM NFL Radio Channel 88. Also hosts his own podcast called the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can also catch Ross on Pro Football Talk, on the NBC Sports Network, as a college football game analyst for NBC Sports or the YES Network. And for those of you who still read to consume football content, you can catch Ross. He's a lead NFL columnist for the Sporting News. But another thing Ross does is he calls games, NFL games, on the radio. He called Vikings and Falcons this past weekend, so he took in a Vikings win, and it was glorious, Ross. We're glad you saw it.
Yeah, what a game. I mean, it was a really interesting game because, at least for the first three quarters, it was really long, clock-eating, time-consuming drives for both teams that would come up with very little points, if any. It was crazy. I mean, that was the fastest NFL game I've done in a while. I think it was over at 3:53. That never happens anymore. And it's because the teams both ran the ball a lot, obviously the Vikings especially, but there was the turnovers, the Bridgewater throw to Rudolph, and obviously the Falcons had their share as well, and some missed field goals, but it was an entertaining game overall. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, Vikings fans, Ross, have grown accustomed to watching Adrian Peterson run wild, and that's what he did on Sunday. He had 29 carries for 158 yards. I saw one of your comments in the Ross Tucker Football Podcast about the game was Adrian willed the Vikings to that win.
It really felt that way. I mean, they're going against the number one rush defense in the NFL, and it just felt like North Turner and Mike Zimmer said, you know what? We're going to put this game and this team on this guy's back because we think he's strong enough to handle it. There was plenty of runs where there was nothing there or you only got a couple yards, but he is relentless, man. I mean, they just and they are relentless. I give North Turner a lot of credit. You know, nobody ever says an offensive coordinator is a genius because they hand the ball to the running back 30 times. But he was, because that's exactly what the team needed to get the win. And the thing with Peterson is he's such a violent runner, but he has the long speed that if you just keep feeding it, if you just keep giving him the ball, I think eventually – more often than not, the dam will break, and he'll get a long run like he got, which pretty much sealed the win. It's just so fun to watch him, and he's the perfect complement really to what they've got going on defense and still having a young emerging quarterback in Bridgewater. Add to that, Mike, by complimenting Jeff Davidson, Hank Braley, and this offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the offensive line of an 8-3 team. With a quarterback, I think it's probably been up and down. I think that's fair to say in terms of Teddy this year. But they're doing it without, I would argue, their two best offensive linemen. How many other teams out there could really have success without their two best offensive linemen and Phil Lowell and John Sullivan? That makes everything they're accomplishing, you know, even more impressive to me. Berger's kind of a career backup journeyman like I was. T.J. Clemmings, obviously, is a rookie that we saw and recognized has a lot to learn. But they just have trusted those guys enough, and they're getting the job done, which is a credit to those O-line coaches.
Yeah, I think that's well stated. And I want to follow up with you on that because, you know, this is one thing. You know, when you're 8-3, Ross, even after victories, you can get some of the fans who don't like certain things and they can nitpick, and that is their right to do that. And one of the things we're hearing a lot here, and I shared this with you yesterday, is, you know, the passing game is not putting up gaudy numbers. So is there concern, do you think, or should the Vikings apologize for the way they're winning games right now?
No, not at all. Because there are plenty of teams out there that are putting up really gaudy passing numbers that stink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ask Blake Bortles and the Jags, or ask Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. You know, a lot of times, gaudy passing numbers are a product of being behind in the game and having to throw a lot to get back in the game. I mean, if you look, some of Teddy's best numbers this year have been that Denver game or that Green Bay game. Well, they lost both games by double digits, so who cares?
Right.
You know, I mean, the recipe that it's the coach's job to come up with is the recipe to win, not the recipe to appease fantasy football owners.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done. And I will also say this. I think that they're getting there. You know, I think Diggs did a dumb penalty, but they've got a young emerging receiver. They're finally getting Kyle Rudolph involved in the passing game more. I'm not exactly sure what took so long there. That kind of surprised me, just knowing North Turner's history. But the last 2 weeks, I'd say, were promising in that regard. And I think they're on their way there. I mean, I really do. I think they get enough out of Teddy Bridgewater scrambling or moving around the pocket and then throwing the ball. I came away impressed by him. You know, even with the numbers aren't big, he's making the plays, with the exception of that interception that he tried to force to Rudolph. He's making winning plays in clutch situations, which is the number one thing you want in a quarterback. I think that gets twisted in the fantasy football-centric world we live in about statistics, and people look at fantasy numbers and discuss how good quarterbacks are. What really matters to me is situational football and making critical plays at critical times for the team to win. And any more importantly, Mike, not making critical mistakes mm-hmm. at critical times. Ask the Falcons and Matt Ryan about that, with that pick he threw to Newman, right? I mean, those are the type of things that will get you beat every time.
Well, on your latest podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which you can find on Twitter because Ross tweets it out, or at Ross's website, rostucker.com, you have, Ross, the Vikings sixth in your power rankings. The NFC teams ahead of the Vikings, Ross, in your power rankings are Arizona and Carolina. So tell me this, what do the Vikings need to keep doing to stay where they are or get better over the last five games?
Well, I think just the consistency. You know, I would have had them closer to being ahead of Arizona, but that Packers game was a rough one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it felt like they were kind of stepping up in class, so to speak, and it felt like they were not able to match the level of the Packers. Now, that game, at this point, looks like an aberration for the Packers and an aberration for the Vikings, because that was a one-off for both those teams, surprisingly enough, at this point. But, you know, to me, that makes it hard. It felt like when they went against a really quality opponent there that they really kind of got handled. So they just need to keep proving it week in and week out, continue their formula, and when they face, you know, this different competition, rise to the challenge.
Okay, well, we thank you for joining. Everyone listening can catch Ross on Twitter, at RossTuckerNFL, on SiriusXM NFL Radio, The Morning Kickoff, and you can catch his podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We know you're a busy man, Ross, so thank you for taking 10 minutes to chat with us, and hopefully we'll see you down the road. You're our good luck charm. I think you're 2-0 at Vikings games, so we want you at more of our games.
Sounds awesome, Mike. I love that you guys do this podcast. I'm a big fan of podcasts.
All right, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. When you're 8-3, you get a chance to take a look at the big picture. Coaches and players want to keep their head down and focus on the Seahawks, but the rest of us, we can take a look around the NFC and check out the playoff picture. That's exactly what we did earlier in the week on the Wobcast. Okay, let's wrap it up here. Right now, we would be the number 3 seed in the NFC behind the Arizona Cardinals, who would be the number 2 seed, and the Carolina Panthers, who would be the number 1 seed. I think the next 2 weeks will determine the chances of the Vikings getting a first-round bye. The top 2 seeds get a first-round bye. And listen, when you're 8-3, these are things you can talk about. You know, obviously, the players and coaches need to focus on just what's ahead of them right now. But when you're 8-3, you get to look at big-picture stuff. And for the Vikings, that's the question of whether or not they can, A, win their division, and then, B, once they secure a division title, can they be one of the top 2 teams, one of the top 2 seeds in the playoffs and get that first round bye? To me, we're going to pretty much have that figured out a week from Thursday when the Vikings play at the Arizona Cardinals. The Vikings play the Seahawks this week at Arizona next week. We'll have a very good idea of whether or not a first round bye is a realistic possibility once that Cardinals game is over. For those of you who like to scoreboard watch and look ahead, the Arizona Cardinals are at St. Louis this week, and then they host us next week. The Carolina Panthers are at New Orleans this week, and then they host the Falcons next week. Your Green Bay Packers are at Detroit on Thursday night, as Nate went over in the NFC North recap. And then they're hosting Dallas next week and at Oakland the following week. So those are 3 teams to keep an eye on, as well as your Minnesota Vikings. Another edition of Everything Purple is in the books. We'll be back next week at the usual time. It'll be a short week as the Vikings play the Arizona Cardinals on a Thursday night. For more content that you didn't get right here, we encourage you to go to Vikings.com and download the Vikings app, where all of our great content can be delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobschall. Everything Purple is done. We wish you a good night and leave you on a good note.